Good morning. Let's have our Bibles open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the first passage we're going to look at, dig into in our study here. This morning, we are continuing looking at doctrine that makes us different. What we're doing is looking at some of the practices of churches around about us, not world religions, but those that would call themselves Christians. And we're looking at some of the beliefs and some of the practices of those around us and why it is that we don't believe those things or we don't do those things here at Knollwood. Last week, we talked about miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit in general. And I said what we would do today is we would narrow that down and we would talk about the gift of tongues. So we're going to talk about the gift of tongues for a few moments this morning. There's a lot of confusion in the religious world concerning the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are excited about that, and perhaps the greatest controversy is around the gift of speaking in tongues. There are people who claim to possess this gift, and when they exercise it, people are hearing them utter unintelligible sounds and gibberish that is called ecstatic utterances. And this is often done by individuals who are whipped up into a highly emotional fever or a highly emotional state. What does the Bible say about the gift of tongues? What is it? What purpose did it serve? And are modern-day tongues the same thing that we can read of in the New Testament? We're going to tackle these questions here this morning. And let's start by identifying just exactly what is the gift of tongues. Perhaps no miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit is better described in the New Testament than the gift of tongues. And we have a very effective description of this gift, explanation of this gift, in Acts chapter 2. And I asked you to turn there, Acts chapter 2. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4 says, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here the Bible tells us the apostles, the 12, are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're doing something the Bible describes as speaking with other tongues. Well, we know that this is a feast day and that Jerusalem would have been filled with Jews who have come to observe this special day. Verse 5 says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, a lot of Jews would have lived in Palestine, would have lived in Judea, would have lived in Galilee, but on these special feast days, like Passover and Pentecost, Jews who lived in other nations, they were born there, they were raised there, that's where they made their homes, and they knew the language that was spoken by the natives of those nations. They lived there, but they would travel to Jerusalem. They would converge upon Jerusalem for these feast days. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, that is, not the sound of the tongues, but the sound of the mighty rushing wind, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. I want you to get that. What are they speaking? They're speaking with other tongues. But then verse 6 says that these individuals are hearing a language. They're hearing the language that is spoken in their native land. No one in Jerusalem speaks that language. When they come to Jerusalem, they expect to hear Aramaic. But here they are hearing, here they are in Jerusalem, and they're hearing Galileans. Now, Galileans were those from the northern country, from the hill country. They weren't as educated as those in Judea. These would have been the backwards folks. Of all the people you might expect to know something about these other nations, Galileans would be the last people that you would expect. But here are these Galileans, and they are speaking perfectly in these languages that they know from back home. You read down in the chapter, verse 8 says, "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" What are they hearing? They're hearing the apostles speaking with other tongues. But what are they hearing? They're hearing their language that they know from back home. And then down in verse 11 is wrapping up the list of nations and places that all these Jews are from. It begins in verse 9. Verse 11 says, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So I want you to notice in this chapter, Luke uses the word tongues and languages interchangeably. So what does that tell us tongues is? Tongues is not just gibberish that someone utters when they're out of control. The Bible gift of tongues was the ability to miraculously speak in a known and recognizable language that one had never studied and that one did not know. It wasn't just uttering gibberish. It was uttering a language that was known in the world, unknown to the individual, but was known in the world. What was the purpose of this gift? We made the point last week. We continue to make the point. God doesn't do anything without a reason. There's a reason for the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's a reason, there's a purpose for the gift in tongue, the gift of tongues. One might think, well, you're speaking, so the primary purpose of the gift of tongues is to be able to communicate God's will. Especially if you've got somebody who wasn't from that nation, if he was to travel there, then you wouldn't need an interpreter, you wouldn't have the language barrier there, he'd be able to effectively preach God's word. You know, with human wisdom, we would think that's the primary purpose, but that's not the primary purpose that this gift served. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, that is one entire context that is talking about the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. We discussed that last week. Well, here in chapter 14, we see the role that these gifts played in the assemblies of the local church. And notice what Paul says, "Therefore, tongues are a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe." The gift of tongues primarily was a sign of confirmation to unbelievers. When they could hear something spoken in their language, that told them something important is happening here. Something important is happening here. And notice, tongues are a sign to unbelievers. Prophecy would be assigned to believers. Now, when we think of prophecy, we think of predicting the future. But in the New Testament, the gift of prophecy primarily was simply the gift of speaking or the gift of preaching. And so whenever someone would stand up and they would have a miraculous message to share, they were instructing, they were teaching the believers who were there. Tongues was a sign for unbelievers, a sign that confirmed that the people they were listening to were speaking for God, and what they were saying was the truth of God's word. In Mark, if you turn with me back to Mark chapter 16, we have Mark's account of the Great Commission, verse 15, "And he said to them," that is to the apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So a handful of miraculous signs are mentioned here. Among them is speaking with new tongues. Now down in verse 20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." So as we know, they went out, they preached. They preached to people that did not know them. And in order to confirm that what they were saying was the truth, these signs would accompany them. Now, just how is it that the gift of tongues, in particular, was a sign to unbelievers? I want us to look at this in more detail. We're going to look at a couple of instances in the book of Acts. I want us to start here in Acts chapter 2, where we just read about tongues. Here in Acts chapter 2, the Jews were the unbelievers. That is, those who were listening to Peter and the other apostles preaching, they were the unbelievers. The Holy Spirit falls upon the 12. There's that sound of a mighty rushing wind that attracts all these Jews, and they converge where they heard this sound coming from. But instead of hearing the sound of a mighty rushing wind, they hear native Israelites speaking perfectly their dialect from back home. And notice here in verses 11 and 12. Now we read verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? They understood this was a sign. There was something significant about what they were observing, and it was pointing to something significant. And what could that be? And Peter begins to preach. And he quotes the prophet Joel and says, this is the fulfillment of what was promised through Joel. And the Spirit be poured out on mankind, and it will come to pass. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he preaches Jesus, who was crucified, who raised from the dead. And they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We read down in verse 41 that about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. Who were the unbelievers? The Jews who were gathered there. Tongues was a sign to them. A sign that pointed to what? Something significant has happened. A prophecy they were anticipating is fulfilled right before their eyes. They hear the gospel. The kingdom is opened up to them. And 3,000 of them believe and they obey. So in Acts chapter 2, we have the gift of tongues. Tongues is a sign to unbelievers. The unbelievers were the Jews. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Because we have tongues speaking again here in Acts chapter 10. Remember in Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to Cornelius. Cornelius is a devout man, a very religious man. He believes in God, but he is an uncircumcised Gentile. And an angel appears to him and tells him to send men to Joppa and get Peter. He's going to come and he's going to tell you what you have to do. So he dispatches his men to go to Joppa and get Peter. Well, you fast forward the next day, Peter at noon is up on the rooftop. He falls into a trance and he sees this great sheet lowered from the sky. And it's filled with all kinds of animals. And a voice tells him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, verse 14, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. It was done three times. Three times for emphasis. And he's thinking about what he's just seen. And about that time, this Holy Spirit tells him, some men are looking for you, asking for you. You go with them. Doubting nothing, asking nothing, you go with them. So Peter and six other Christians travel with these men and go back to Cornelius there in Caesarea. And he enters in, he says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter's starting to catch on. He's not quite there yet, but he's starting to catch on. He's just said how unlawful it is for him to come into a Gentile, but he's there and he begins to preach. And as he's preaching, verse 44 says, While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. That would be Peter and the six Christians who were with him. The six are mentioned in chapter 11 in verse 12. So these seven individuals of the circumcision, that is Jewish Christians, they're astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So here's tongues once again. Who are the unbelievers? The unbelievers are not the Gentiles in this instance. The unbelievers are Peter and the other Christians. In what sense are they unbelievers? Because it says right here in verse 45 that they believed. They believed in Christ. But if you had asked them right there, is it right to baptize uncircumcised Gentiles? They would have said, no, no way. They don't believe. But they're about to. When they hear them speaking in tongues, that is a sign to Peter and to the rest of them, all right, these uncircumcised Gentiles need to receive the gospel as well. And it's this sign of tongues that finally does it for Peter. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now in chapter 11, Peter is called on the carpet about this. When Peter gets back to Jerusalem, he has other Jewish Christians who confront him and contend with him about this. You did something wrong. You went to the house of a Gentile and you preached and you baptized them. And so Peter begins to explain in detail what has happened. Look down at verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. That verse is very interesting to me. The beginning. What's Peter talking about? He's talking about Acts chapter 2. And for the apostles and for the church, Acts chapter 2 is the beginning. That's where it starts. But notice he says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as he did upon us at the beginning. Notice Peter doesn't say, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as he does upon everyone who believes, or as he does upon everyone who is baptized. See, some in the charismatic churches around us will contend that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues is something that happens to everyone when they're saved. But it's not. It's something that only happened twice. Every other time we read of someone receiving the gift of tongues or any other miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit is through the laying on of the apostles' hands. But in these two instances, it's given through a miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit to serve as a sign. In Acts chapter 2 is a sign to the unbelieving Jews when the door of salvation was opened to the Jews. In Acts chapter 10, the speaking in tongues was a sign for the unbelieving Jews, convincing them that now the door of the kingdom was open to the Gentiles. So we have this happening, but it only happens twice. Peter, we continue, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? That was a sign to me, to the others, and we understood it. And I couldn't withstand God, and I commanded them to be baptized. And with that, he convinces some of them. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, and God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So it was a sign that was given to the unbelievers. I want to go on and look at one more thing. Time is getting away from us a lot quicker than I thought that it would. One thing that would be helpful for us in understanding this is to contrast what we know about the gift of tongues in the Bible with what is claimed with modern-day practices of speaking in tongues. Let's look at four things very quickly. Number one, we saw that tongues in the Bible is a known language, speaking in known language. What passes as speaking in tongues today is gibberish. It's unintelligible. These instances, some of them have been recorded, and professional individuals who study and know world languages listen to it and say, it's not any language at all. It's just gibberish. That is not the Bible gift of tongues. And by the way, when this is combined with the services that are conducted in these churches in which the people there get whipped up into a frenzy and think they're receiving the Holy Spirit, those who are not religious at all have observed this and have said that it is exactly what happens in pagan cultures throughout the world. It's not a form of Christianity. If anything, it's a part of paganism, not Christianity. But it's practiced by those who call themselves Christians and would have us to believe that they've got a special relationship with God that us poor people, we just don't have because we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. No, Bible tongues is a known language. Modern tongues is gibberish. Bible tongues came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles. They begin to speak fluently in tongues they've never studied. The Holy Spirit fell upon the household of Cornelius. They began to speak in tongues. You know, those who practice tongue speaking today will offer to teach you how to speak in tongues. We've got individuals in this assembly right here who have had charismatics offer to teach them how to speak in tongues. No one had to teach anyone how to use a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. It came from God. Third, the gift of tongues not only could be controlled, it had to be controlled. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there was a misuse of the miraculous gifts, in particular the gift of tongues. And Paul, after talking about the gifts, talking about the better gift, that is love in chapter 13, in chapter 14, he puts things in order in their worship services. And look at what is said in verses 27 and 28 about tongue speaking. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Notice how regulated this is. Several people, no doubt, had the gift of tongues, but only three were allowed to speak at any given assembly. And they had to take turns. They weren't to speak at the same time. They weren't to speak over each other. They had to take turns. And what if nobody there had the gift of interpretation? Well, the one who had the gift of tongues and was receiving a message had to keep his mouth closed. It wasn't something that was out of control. It wasn't something that was better felt than told. It was something that they had complete control over. That's not what we see in the religious world around us today. And as we saw in our study last week, the gift of tongues has ceased. The perfect has replaced the part. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says, "Are there tongues, they will cease." And we know that tongues, as with all the other miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, ceased at the same time that the New Testament was completed and was available to the church. Well, today we're told either tongues never did go away, or we are told that the gift of tongues has been revived by the Holy Spirit in the last couple hundred years or so. Where does the Bible teach that would happen? Doesn't teach it anywhere. And, by the way, if you look at church history, that is where all the different groups have come from, where denominations have come from, you can trace them back to the roots. You know, these charismatic churches like the Pentecostal Church, Church of God, Nazarene Church, are very recent arrivals as you look at the religious landscape. You can't trace the Pentecostal church back to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You can trace it back maybe 150 years. It's relatively new. But there's this excitement about the Holy Spirit, and that's what gave birth to all of these churches. What have we learned today? We've learned that the gift of tongues is the miraculous ability to speak in an existing human language that one has never learned or studied. It was a confirming sign to the unbelievers, and the word has been confirmed. Modern tongues is anything like the gift we read of in the New Testament. And like all other miraculous gifts, tongues has served its purpose and has ceased. I can't promise this will convince someone who is emotionally wrapped up in believing they have this gift. But we need to understand what the Word of God says. And maybe, we'll come across someone who's really seeking the truth. We'll find someone with an open heart, and we'll be able to teach them what the Word of God says about this matter. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the gifts that you gave your church when it was in its infancy. We're thankful for the purpose that they served, but we're most thankful that we have your complete revelation. Help us to be diligent students of your word, and help us to be content with what your word gives us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.